Okay, so cautious entry. So some people might be saying, hey, you know, kind of, I, you know, even if your game doesn't have many words, you kind of think, oh, you know what, this localization can be a pain in the ass. You know, do I really want to kind of be doing this stuff? What we always recommend is, you know, test the water by basically translating your description text, metadata for the stores. Because like I pointed out at the very beginning, 46% of people will not purchase unless they can understand what's on the screen. So at least if you have that and you explain that the game itself is not translated yet, then that's fine. They will appreciate that. But the ability for them to actually be able to kind of look through the store and understand what game proposition you're offering, then that's a massive jump in the right direction, which will set you apart from other your competitors. And then yeah, so people come back and say, "Oh, this is great," and I've been playing this game, and the feedback is, "Oh, wouldn't it be great if it was in Turkish?" Then you can then look at then maybe doing the full game. If your budget is a tight one, which is totally understandable, then it's a case of kind of looking at kind of so this is the languages you should be hitting. So obviously, if you're doing English, you're going to cover a lot of stuff here. I'd imagine most of you guys would do Russian if you were doing Steam anyway, but certainly if you look at it, like Spanish is massive on Steam. The Steam stats are very, very easy to get hold of anyway. But look, you've got here Brazilian Portuguese. I mean, so makes total sense. And then we've got iOS and then Google Play as well. So you've got kind of some things jump out. So South Korea will generate a huge amount of revenue on Google Play. And it's kind of like, well, why aren't people kind of looking at that? You know, it's kind of like, and then you've got Taiwan down there as well. So, you know, so you should be looking at, so that's using traditional Chinese. So Taiwan, traditional Chinese. And then you've got China here for iOS, which would be simplified Chinese. So again, so there's two different. So if you're trying to release traditional Chinese, if you just do one Chinese version and then you're trying to do it on iOS and Google Play, then you're going to have problems because the traditional Chinese will not be accepted in mainland China. Okay, are you ready for lock? Some simple localization considerations. So again, so this is from a kind of localization company kind of background. Basically, if you can prepare your localization, instead of just going, here's my Excel file, or here's a link to my shared doc, and saying, crack on, and you know, just translate, then as you progress through the whole kind of process, you'll get so many questions, this, that, and the from the translators, and you're kind of like, why did I bother doing this in the first place? So yeah, so basically, you just, you know, it's, you know, the game name. The amount of times we receive an Excel file and they say, "Can you translate this?" And it's like, "Sure. What's it called?" You know, we don't know nothing about the game whatsoever. So we have to then go, "Okay, can tell us about the platforms. You know, who are you targeting? You know, is it a child? You know, is it a children's friendly game?" So the kind of the translation needs to be friendly for, you know, an 8-year-old child. So you know, it's really important to understand these things. And then, if possible, if there's video, if there's screenshots, if there's code. If there's code, fantastic, because most translators, especially the ones that we work with, they're very much games translators. So they want to play games. And if they can see a game before it's released and play it, they're like super happy. So you're going to get the best quality translation if they can get hands-on. Oh yes, sorry, and then previous translations, that's important as well. So if you've translated it with someone else, then make sure that you've got those translations for the new people. Right, special characters. Okay, so there's a few here. So just these are just like real top line ones, which are very, very simple to not explain. And then when the translations are delivered back to you, then you go, "Oh, this is broken because they've changed this kind of this requirement, but they didn't tell us what the requirement was." So for example, like a slash N to denote a line break. You know, do you need to have a space before it? You know, can it sit right up against the last character? This is stuff that, you know, can then break the game or make the game look really crappy. Characters you can't support. So you should always support umlauts and accents and things because obviously, again, actually, so many people, they think, okay, so if it's an A with an accent, that's just the same as an A. It's like, no, it's not. Somebody's going to read that and go, this is trash. Right, so you need to support all these special characters. So, for example, this is one that just bites me regularly. So the triple dot here. So, you know, if somebody's working in Word, then it will automatically kind of create the special character with the ellipsis. So, and then sometimes that will just break people's games. It's like, okay, great. So yeah, so stuff like that, we need to kind of make sure we tell the translators, make sure you do not create these special characters, or maybe it doesn't matter. So regularly we get requests for, you know, we'll receive a document and it will have square brackets and it will have a variable in the square brackets. But then somewhere else in the document, there'll be another square brackets and it'll be stuff that does need to be translated. It's like, you know, consistency is really important. So if it's stuff in square brackets, let's make sure that's stuff that's variables. And then, again, this, which is bonkers, but in loads of games, in a number of games, the variables themselves are kind of locked into the screen at a certain location. And it's like, dude, you can't do that. You need to be able to move these things around. So it's really important to not lock, not to kind of bake these into the UI. People still don't do this, and I try to shout about it and say, please, it's really useful. This will save you time later. So if you can have a string description column, or if you're using a CMS or whatever, that you fill the description to give explanation to what that string actually means. So fire. So you might just have the word fire. And actually, the other day, we had the word barrel. Oh, excuse me. You had the word barrel. And so it was translated as barrel, as in like a barrel that you'd have beer in. But it's actually the barrel of a gun. And it's like, okay, so you know, somebody's playing that and going, I've got to spin my barrel. It's like, what? So yeah, so basically you've got stuff like fire. So fire, aiming and shooting, or the thing that burns in the middle of a camp. To watch. Yeah, so you're watching something, or is it they will watch? A kick, to kick someone from a game, or is it to kick something? So yeah, so just, you know, especially now, these kind of like words that just exist on their own are very, very difficult to work with. Right, okay, so important thing as well, so different platforms have different terminology. So regularly we'll receive a request that will be, this is for all platforms. And it's kind of like, okay, great. But you know that controller's going to be different in certain languages from PlayStation to Xbox or whatever it might be, or button might be different in Italian. So what you should try to do, if you've got stuff that's actually related to the hardware itself, or kind of or names of buttons, etc., those should sit separately. So you should have a batch for each of the platforms. And again, it might cost you a little bit more money, but there's usually not that many platform-specific things. So it might cost you a little bit of money, but it will mean that you don't get bounced back from PlayStation or from whatever the format holder is with an error later on. And, oh, can you translate this quickly for Xbox? It's like, ugh. If you'd have done it separately, then we could have done it at the same time. Don't assume the translation for a string will be the same for an identical string. It's all context-based. So you need to kind of ensure that, you know, just because something is a duplicate in your source language version, it might not be a duplicate actually for another language. So send all the duplicates, and then we will take care of the duplicates ourselves. Okay, so mobile and console, this is kind of touching the thing again. So the requirement for touch and press. So you're talking about pressing buttons, and then that then appears in the mobile version. It's like, that's crap. Okay, so this is what I mentioned before. So who is the line delivered by? Who's it directed to? What gender is the speaker? This is all very important, stuff like Spanish especially, and Brazilian, and a number of things, and Russian as well, of course. Because if you just imagine, you know, that you're playing a game and then there's a dialogue between characters and then it just sounds really shitty, it's just going to kind of just suck you back out of the game, and then you're going to think, well, this game is really poorly made. So the idea is, if you can create one sheet, which is the in-game text, which is kind of like the UI stuff, and then another one, which is dialogue and interaction, then you can order it properly, you can understand what the scenes are, how they appear in the game. Maybe the dialogue is referencing the story in terms of relationships between characters. So all of that stuff is really super important to provide the best quality experience for the player. Alternatively, if you put everything in one sheet, just make sure you have two separate sections. I mean, this is pretty kind of simplistic, but we see regularly that it doesn't happen.